Today we're in week number 3 of this Pray First series. If you've missed any of this, I would encourage you to go back and watch it, because maybe there's things that you know but don't do, or maybe there's things that you do and don't know why you do it. And so there's last week, Pastor Brian was here while I was taking care of 70 teenagers, and while we were having a good time, Pastor Brian was walking through the tabernacle prayer, and step by step, I mean, like when I first heard it, I was like, why do I need to know any of those things? But then I did it. Like, that was the thing that changed. We have these free books. We actually got them from Create Church so that we didn't have to pay to print them ourselves. And so we got them from them, and we're putting them into your hand if you want to know a little bit more about prayer. And the tabernacle prayer that he talked about last week is one that I went ahead, and I was like, well, if Pastor Brian talked about it, then I should probably pray it. And I was like, okay, the Ark of the Covenant, the brazen altar, what the heck does all this stuff mean? And I went through each and every day and prayed what was on these pages, and where it said give prompts and give praise to God, I give praise to God. And when you're thanking God for not having to do all the sacrifices of the Old Testament, that's really easy. And so it walks you through the importance of that. We're going to go over another one this week, and then I'm going to try to pray that this week. It's called the Prayer of Jabez. And that's what we're talking about today. And I don't know if you've ever heard of that. I was telling Tandrick, he was like, okay, Pastor Billy, what's the topic? Because he's the one that helps make everything get online so that people that are watching from home, like 90 of you guys did last week, because it was way too cold to get outside. And so you watched online, and Tandrick is the one that helps make those happen. He was like, the prayer of huh? The prayer of who? The prayer of what? I was like, the prayer of Jabez. He's like, okay, I'm just going to trust you on this one, right? How many of you guys have heard of Jabez before? Not many, right? I get it. And there was a book that came out in the 90s that I didn't read, and maybe if I read it, I would have been a little bit less bitter about it. But when I hear the prayer of Jabez, I was a little bit more like put off. And I don't know about you, but sometimes people can use things the wrong way, right? Have you ever done that? Whether it's like you got a screwdriver and you're trying to use it as a hammer, and then things break, and yeah, you're laughing because you did it, right? And so you use things the wrong way, and then you're like, well, that's wrong. Well, that's when I've heard of the prayer of Jabez. Like, it's simply this, and maybe I'll read it for you. In 1 Chronicles 4:10, it says, Jabez called upon God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me. Enlarge my border, enlarge my territory, in other versions. It says, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, so it might not bring me pain. And God granted what he asked. See, that's a good verse. That's an amazing prayer. But so many times I've heard people abuse it. Bless me, Lord, just bless me. I just need a blessing today. I don't know if you know any of those people. I just need blessed by God. I'm not going to obey him. I'm not going to put any of his principles. I'm going to like play house with this person here, and then I'm going to ask him to make me pregnant. Sorry, this stuff like that sneaks out. I'm going to disobey God, but I'm going to ask him to bless me anyways, right? See, I've heard that way too much. Enlarge my territory. Jesus, my house is just way too small. I just need a bigger house, God. I just pray that you'd bless me and that you'd enlarge my territory. I need 2.5 acres now, Jesus. I just need some blessings up upon me right now. I need my territories to be bigger. I'm driving this compact car. I need me an SUV. Jesus, bless me, bless me, bless me, right? Maybe you've known somebody like that or heard somebody like that, right? Maybe you've heard the name it, claim it, right? The blab it, grab it, right? Like I just need it, Jesus, if I just declare it with my mouth. And there's truth to that. But the pendulum sometimes seems like it swings so far that all we pray is these bless me prayers. But when you read, like, I don't know, Chronicles, It's not of Narnia. So many of you probably haven't read through Chronicles. It's not that exciting of a book. Like literally, you get to this point and you've got a list of 600 names. How many of you guys love those parts of the Bible, right? You're reading, you're like, oh, come on. God, why? Why does this beget this person matter to me? Well, the fact is, if that was your name, right? Right? Like Mike Wazowski, there's my hand. Right? Like, you can see me. Like, if your name was in the credits of a movie, you'd be like, yeah, look at that. Everybody watch that. And that's God showing all of us that every number has a name and every name matters. And so you're going through this Chronicles, or at least when I go through Chronicles, I'm like, come on, get to the point already. And so there's 600 in a row, but right smack dab in the middle, right after 300 and right before the next 300, we see this section talking about Jabez and this random prayer in the middle of all these names. I don't know if you know what the word Jabez means. I don't know if you know what your name means. I was sitting in a group at that winter camp, and a group of people, and we were talking about how we got our names. Well, my dad was William Holden. His dad was William Holden. My son is William Holden. You see the trend? And so it goes on. Now, Mandy's got a story. Barry Manilow song, "Oh Mandy, you came," and I even remind her, like I sing to her all the time as I'm like, "Oh Mandy, why did this happen? Why is this broken? Oh Mandy," but as we were sitting around in this circle talking about our names and what they meant, there was this lady as she was one of the last ones. She's like, "You know, I really don't know what my name means." True story. It's hilarious. I couldn't make this up. It is so funny. So we're sitting around, and William Holden, Barry Manilow, Oh Manly. She's like, "I don't know where my name came from." We're like, "Well, what's your name?" She's like, "My name is Dacry." Yeah, that's kind of what the rest of the room did too. We're like, "Okay, all right. I don't know where it is." We all busted out laughing. But Jabez. His name meant pain, right? Not major pain, but a pain. I don't know. Like, why would you name, it says, "I gave birth to him in pain." We don't know much more of the story other than that. Some of you are like, "That's the name of my kid," right? And you just didn't think of Jabez, right? But Jabez is known for being a person of pain, right? But instead of focusing on his pain, see, I've been taught about prayer. I've been taught a lot about prayer where it says, "Cast your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you." That we can take our cares to God. And I'm not saying not to do that at all. That's very biblical. It's very scriptural. I've been taught about prayer. I've been taught about healing and laying on of hands. We believe that, and we've seen it happen even in this place. But I wasn't necessarily taught, or at least I don't remember, my mom could probably tell you, but about praying the scriptures, about praying the prayers that are in scriptures. And I want to tell you, like, this book helps me. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes my brain will start making grocery lists when I'm trying to pray. And it's like, nope, here's the next paragraph. Here's what you're trying to focus on. It's like, oh, okay, yep. And so praying the scriptures actually has helped me even just this week as I was setting a time aside. By the way, if you didn't catch on, we're in a time of 21 days of praying and fasting for what God wants to do in our lives and in this church. And so if you want to join us, there's 7 days left, and then we break the fast with a big breakfast next Sunday in the evening for our worship and waffles night. I don't know if that's really a thing, but I'm trying to make it a thing. So if you got waffle makers, bring them to church and we'll make some waffles. But we see here in these scriptures that Jabez calls upon the God of Israel. And he could have focused on his pain, but he doesn't focus on his pain. He talks about, "Bless me, enlarge my territory, may your hand be upon me, and that you would keep me from harm, and might it not bring pain." And it says, "And God granted what he asked." You know, if you were a person that was batting 1,000 on your prayers, I would pay attention, right? And I'd be like, "Wait a minute, you prayed that and that happened? Okay, all right. What'd you do? What'd you say?" And so when I read this, I'm like, okay. So in this first part, we're going to try to break it down. It says, God, I'm asking that you bless me. That you bless me, God. Now, many of us know people that have abused that, live in disobedience to God, but God is still a blesser. No matter how many times you read through Scripture, I'm at the point with like Jacob and Isaac and Esau and everything like that, and they're still, like, he's a deceiver, but God is still blessing him, and I'm like, what is going on? Why, God? Why him? Why aren't we reading more about Esau? But he's still blessing Jacob. But God is a blesser. But in Psalms chapter 5, we see, for surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous, and you surround them with favor like a shield. And so some would say that you live righteously and you'll be blessed. But speaking of Isaac, when I read about Isaac, I see verses. It's in Genesis because I'm at the beginning of my reading plan this year. And there's a section where it talks about Isaac doing his job, where he sowed into the land. This is in Genesis 26, 12 through 13. It says, then Isaac sowed into the land and that he reaped in. In the same year, a hundredfold, the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. So we see both blessing and prosperity as a good thing. And I'm not here to preach some prosperity gospel. I'm here to say, okay, we see that Isaac worked. Some of you want to pray that God bless you and you want to stay on Facebook all day. You want to stay on YouTube all day and you're like, well, God, I just need your blessings, okay? Well, not bless me with a bigger government check. But I need God, you to enlarge my territory. Where are you at, God? I prayed the prayer. See, that's not what I see Jabez doing here. I see Jabez, what I try to do is I try to look at Scripture that will help me understand Scripture. Instead of just other people's words, how does Scripture help me understand Scripture? There's a verse in Genesis 12, and I always like going back to earlier in Genesis before the humans screwed it up time and time again. But in Genesis 12, 2, it says, I will bless you, and you will be a blessing to others. See, when we pray with the right motives, we're told that God will answer our prayers. He's not praying for the blessing so his wallet can be fatter, right? We see that go wrong for others that pray for more and more crops, and I'm going to tear down this barn and build a bigger barn, and then he's dead by the next day. If you read Scripture, that's a crazy one, right? But Jabez's blessing must have not been necessarily for himself just to be blessed and to hoard and to take care of it all himself, but so that he might be a blessing to others. What if our prayers were like that? Not just bless me so I can drive more cars and have more stuff and wear more furs and have more gold, whatever. But what if it was, God bless me so I can be a blessing to others? See, it's the word, I don't know, salah. It means that you're able to go to a certain point and then God blesses you further. It's what we see in the life of Isaac, right? That he blessed so that he could be a blessing to the world around him. What if that was our prayer? What if that was our motivation? In the New Testament, it says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Just as your soul prospers, right? Prosperity. That's kind of the prosperity gospel that I see time and time again through Scripture, that we do what we can do, and God blesses the rest. That's why we talked about first fruits at the beginning of the year, that we trust in God first, and then we do our job, and He blesses it. We see it time and time again through Scripture. It's something that if you go to the What's Happening page, we actually put a 90-day challenge, that if you want to tithe, the way it's set up biblically, it explains it all through there. If you want to tithe for 90 days, we believe, just like the Bible says, where it says, test me in this, says the Lord God Almighty. That you give and he will bless you. So the prosperity that I see is having more than I need so I can make an eternal difference in the life of others. It's not just for me. That prosperity can be like, okay, God bless my territory. For most of us, our territory is what? Right, Rob? Our territory is Hannah and Nikki and Cooper. Oh, we're all taken care of, right? Our house is warm, right? We go on vacation and we go to Wisconsin and we freeze our butts off, right? And I take care of my family. God has blessed me, right? I got 5 kids. God has blessed me, right? But really, many of you guys know the story. We had 3 kids, and God had blessed us with a big enough, not only heart, but a big enough house with extra room. And we get the call from DCS about taking in twins. I was like, oh crap, why would I play the blessing of God, please enlarge my territory? What if it's not enlarge my territory so I can have more this and more that and more, I'm more acres, but what if it's enlarge my territory for this person at work? And enlarge my territory for that team lead, for that cashier at Walmart, for that barista at Starbucks. What if it's enlarge my territory? There's Jeannie, she's the lover of snow, just in case you didn't know that. But Jeannie, she comes to the first service, and I was talking to Jeannie, and she's like, yeah, I love this stuff. I got out my snow blower. I was like, this stuff is so light, and you just sweep it right off. She's like, I don't care, I got it out. This is snow blowing weather. And so she's like, I got it out, and I went up and down and did my driveway. And then I saw that my neighbors needed done. She's like, I went over there and I did their driveway. And then I saw that the person next to me needed it. And so I went over there. And she was like, but Pastor, it was blowing so hard that I then had to go back and do my driveway. And then I went had to go back and do my other person's neighbor's driveway. Good old snow drifts here in Indiana, right? But I was so blessed by that story that God's blessed me with a snowblower. And a love for this white stuff, powdery stuff, that I just love to see it fly. And so I've got this. I've got some extra time. I got some extra caffeine. Let's go. Not just take care of myself. See, when I looked at the prayer of Jabez, I thought it as a me-centered prayer. But when you go through and use scripture to help define this prayer, it's not about him. It's about others. It's about blessing others. Blessed so that we can be a blessing. Prosperity so that we're not just worried about our eternity, but we're worried about that neighbor's. And we're worried about that person that lives across the street. We're worried about that coworker that we work next to every single day. There was something that we set up, and maybe you've seen the slide about it. It plays every single week. There's a video that usually plays about it every single week. But one of the ways we said, as a church, we did this when we were meeting in our house. We said, check into Innovation Church. Some of you guys still don't know what that means. And so we've been saying it now for decades. And so we said, check into Innovation Church. One of the things that you're going to see is the yearly celebration letter that last year we were able to join with other churches and pay for people's surgeries. That we were able to join with other churches and provide shoes with Souls for Souls. That we were able to, just in December, I believe it was about 38 books just from checking in, right? I can get this thing. There we go, locked into place. And so this is going to be set up in the lobby. Now, whoa, if I can do that, right? This is going to be set up to remind us to check in and do good. To check in and do good. Just simply go on Facebook and say, this is where I'm at. Because it's not just us. Not only is every time you check in on Facebook, you're helping organizations all over the world, like Souls for Souls and Build On. We've been a part of building schools and paying for bricks that actually, and you guys aren't having to like We're not saying, okay, we're going to take up an offering for Souls for Souls. We're like, no, this is going to be a part of our DNA. We're going to give back. One of the things that we've added over the past couple years is we actually help sponsor a missionary. So when you give, there's a specific missionary. They were church planters in Wisconsin, but their heart began to break for the world. And so they started off in Russia. And then obviously there's a lot of things going on in Russia, and so they got kicked out. And so, but right now they're living in the 1040 window. And we're trying to get them here this summer so that they can come tell a little bit more about their story, because they got to be on furlough and stuff. And so we're still working on the calendar for that. But to go into the most unreached area in the world. See, we try to make it not all about us. That's why we're a part of a denomination. Me and Mandy, we could have went and we could have planted by ourselves. We could have been the non-denominational church. We could have said all of 100% of our funds go towards making a difference here. But really 10% of all the money that goes into the, whether it's the offering box or whether you give through the app or the website or anything like that, 10% of everything that we take in, we send off. Because it's not all about us. And it can never be all about us, because we've been blessed to be a blessing to the world. And sometimes you got to set those things up so that it happens automatically, right? Like because it doesn't happen by accident. You don't just walk into Subaru, Amanda, and say, you know what? I'm going to be a blessing today. No, you're like, ah, I'm trying to stay alive here on the road. Why didn't they cancel the shift? Those stupid, right? Like, you're walking in there and you're mad that you have to work, right? Yeah, I know. I walked into there too, right? But you're saying, you know what? I'm going to pray even these prayers that sometimes I don't understand. I'm going to lean not on my understanding, but I'm going to lean on His understanding. In all my ways, acknowledge Him and let Him direct my path. And what does that path help me learn? That this blessing isn't all about bless me, for my gold chains, for my new kicks. It's about so I can be a blessing to others. So I can help influence others. He talks about a part of that where he says, oh, that you would bless me, enlarge my territory, and that your hand might be with me. This was the other prayer that I wanted to talk about, really, because I didn't want to talk about the prayer of Jabez today. I really didn't. The other one was the prayer of Moses. And maybe I'll get to that one. But Moses said, Lord, if your presence does not go with me, don't even send me out there. God, I need your presence more than anything. That's my prayer every time I get up here. I don't feel worthy. I don't feel like I can do this sometimes one more week. Saying, God, I've got to have your blessings. God, I need your presence. People ask me about church services. Like, how is it? How is it? I missed it. How is service on Sunday? I'm like, I have no clue. Ask the people. There's many times that I'm just like, I'm just being obedient to what I believe God said to say. Let Him do the rest. I'm going to do my work. I'm going to do my research. I'm going to wrestle with it before I get up here. Because me, I'm replaying everything that went bad, right? You guys should have heard the first service. Like, I was playing, like, I was trying to play a C, but my fingers were not playing the right chord. I'd go and be like, reet, reet, reet. Some of you guys heard earlier, my guitar went out of tune because I beat it so hard. And those are the things that replay in my head. I'm like, oh, what happened on Sunday? I was like, oh, my guitar went out of tune. Oh, I messed up on a slide. Oh, I did this, I did this. And then somebody comes up and they're like, man, Pastor, that was the best sermon I ever heard. I was like, well, then you didn't hear me. You heard God, and that's exactly what you needed to hear. But guys, this is why we fast. This is why we pray. This is why we go through these prayers, because we don't want it to be just us walking through this year. We have to have God go with us. We have to have God leading us, God guiding us, and I'm already excited. There's been crazy things already happening in during this fast, during these 21 days. Some of you know, or Ed and Tiffany, shout out to the aldermen back there, right? They were in the first group that did a fast with us when we lived here. I don't even know if you guys fasted anything, if you were just like, yeah, yeah. And that's what most people do, don't worry. But they were with us, and they showed up at our house, and they were like, okay, 21-day fast is over. And I'm like, okay, I don't have any answers, right? I don't know if you guys remember that. I remember it as clear as day. And because we were believing for a building, we were meeting in a house, there were kids all over the place, like it was ridiculous, and it was loud. We were like, is this thing ever going to take off? And that was really our prayer, God, is this thing ever going to take off? And they come to our house, and we sit down, and we're like, okay, the 21-day fast is over, and we can finally eat again. Let's eat. Okay, what did God do? I don't know. And then within 30 minutes of them leaving the house, we got a phone call from Foursquare saying, hey, there's a $1.3 million facility that's available. There's no people inside of it. There's no church, but it's a building. Would you pray about taking that over? Oh, I just did, and I'm hungry. You don't know who you're talking to and what you're talking about. You know, after it was like, what, 3 or 4 years ago when we were doing a 21-day fast, we were handed the radio station, 97.7. I mean, you guys remember that. Number one Christian hip-hop station in all Indiana. The only one, but number one, right? And so there's been blessing after blessing after blessing, and I don't know what all God has in store. But we do this not to turn God's heart towards ours, mainly to turn ours towards His. God, what do you want to do in us? What do you want to do through us? And so we see that part of this prayer is like, God, I need your presence to go with me. We see the blessing, the influence, the presence, and then we see the protection. I don't know about you, but I need to pray for protection. Some of you, during this fast, you've needed protection. There's been the enemy attacking and been lurking, and we've got to be on guard for that. Because he roams around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And you're like, well, he ain't attacking me. Well, sometimes when you're not butting heads with the devil, it's because you're walking with him. That he's not trying to stop you because he's actually supporting you and your efforts and what you're doing. Yeah, keep that addiction up. Why would you need to fast that? Why would you need to stop doing that? Why would you need to stop being on social media? That pastor doesn't know what he's talking about. Just because you're causing fights and alienating your family, whatever. What does he know? But it's protection. I'm not trying to freak anybody out. But prayer is not just communion with God. It also involves confronting the devil with the name of Jesus. And Jesus, you don't have. Devil, you don't have. Because of Jesus, you don't have a hold on my kids. You don't have any authority in my household. You don't have any authority in my mind. You don't have any authority even in this workplace. You put on the armor of God. That's what that tabernacle prayer talked about, that blood of Jesus, the power of the blood of Jesus. So dads, I need you to get up every morning and pray that the enemy keeps his hands off your wife. Hands off your family. Hands off your kids. The moms. Pray over those kids. Daily pray over those kids. That they're going to have favor following them each and every day. That they're going to have friends who love them. That even in the midst of public school, they are going to find the one or the two. That they're going to be involved in the FCA group. Because God has given you authority over the enemy to confront him. All the power of the enemy still cannot harm you. So we pray, Lord, strengthen me in the battle. Rescue me from these evil attacks. Help me see them for what they are and not give in to them. And, oh, okay, she's wanting to go rounds today. All right, no, say, hey, honey, let's stop and let's pray. What does God have to say about this situation? What does God have to say about our finances? How are we coming in alignment with him? Or are we walking out of alignment with him? Some of you guys know what that car feels like, right? You were trying to keep it on the road this morning, that out of alignment, right? See, when we pray those kind of prayers, I believe when we pray those prayers with the right motives. I believe Jabez was praying with the right motives that we've seen today through the scripture. What are our prayers filled with? Is it gimme, 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 God? Bless me, bless me, bless me. God, take care of me, take care of me. I just need more blessings today. I just need bigger territories. I just need bigger SUVs. I just need more chain. I need to drip, God, today, and I need you to make me drip. All right, I got some ice on. Right, my ice isn't big enough, God. And some of you guys don't know what that means. And it's probably better, right? Yes, his name meant pain, but that wasn't his focus. He was saying, God, have your way through me. Bless me so I can be a blessing to others. This territory, I'm not just wanting to take care of my own. I'm not just wanting to hoard in my house and hunker down and make sure that I'm okay. No, I'm going to make sure there's enough food for my neighbors. I'm going to teach them how to garden. I'm going to teach them how to be self-sustainable. I'm going to walk through and sit down with people and help them budget because we all need a little more help on that, right? There's different ways that we can be a blessing because we've been blessed. And God promises to pour out his blessings upon us when we're doing it with the right motives. So have fun playing this prayer this week. And I would challenge you, pick up this book. It's free, $3.99, right out at guest services, starting on page 40. It talks through a little bit more than even what I talked about. It talks through the prayer of Jabez. It talks through the blessing, the influence, the presence, and the protection. And it even gives you word for word what to pray, right? Word for word what to pray. Right? Well, I guess it does say fill in the blanks in some certain areas. It says, you know, what is it that you're seeking right now, right? Like there's certain things that you're seeking. And so there's certain things that you're praising and thanking God for. But there's four pages. Pray it every day. I don't know what God's going to do in and through your life with it. But we see that he stopped all this genealogy lesson here and gave us this prayer. I figure it's for a good reason. Oh, let's close off in prayer today. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for this time that we have to come and to gather and to be directed by you. God, there's so many times that we can, I can read my Bible on my own. I don't need a pastor to tell me. Yeah, but there's also been plenty of times in my own life, God, and you know them where the pastor has got me back on track. Where I've been following my ways, where I've been interpreting it my way, even with this prayer of Jabez. Why should I pray this prayer of Jabez? I don't need to pray this prayer of Jabez, but God, you're even challenging me this week. And what this blessing may look like in my life, but also our life as a church. What our territory and what it may increase to, and how that's not just to be for us, but how it's to be for others. God, I thank you for this prayer. May it challenge us all as we go throughout our weeks. Maybe you're here today and you're feeling a bit convicted about your relationship with God. Whether it's him knocking on the door of your heart, maybe your heart's beating fast right now and you need to do something about it. Maybe you walked into this place not knowing why you were here. But you know that the direction that your life is headed is not of God. You sense that he's real today. You sense that he's calling out to you today. And for some of you, you need to do that. I'm not standing up here asking you to join a church. I'm asking you just to surrender your life to Jesus. I can't think of a better way to kick off 2024. I know we're a few weeks into it. But I'm so glad that God doesn't care about resolution. He cares about restoration. And so today, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, if you know that there's an emptiness inside of you, and you know that there's a longing, you can feel it today. This may not even be the first day. Maybe you think that God seems a million miles away. Something about today, he's drawing you close to him. It's not something I can do. It's only something that God can do. Maybe today is your day, whether you're watching online or here in person, that you would say, I need God in my life. Not that you're after a blessing, not that you're after more territory, but something about what this bald guy has said makes sense. It's not me. It's God talking to you right now. And so today, if you're here, I would encourage you. I'll say the words. Today you don't have to say them out loud. I'm not even going to make you repeat after me. But you know if you're saying these words after me. You know if inside that you're having this conversation with God right now. Now I'll give you a few pauses so you can catch up. Maybe today you're in this place and you want to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. It's not something fancy. It's simply just saying, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. Jesus, I surrender my life to you. And I ask that you forgive me, that you change me. Have your Holy Spirit live in me so that I can be who you created me to be. And I believe you're the Son of God, and I believe you died and rose again. Today I put my faith in the name and the person of Jesus Christ, who is now my Lord. In your name I pray. Amen.